Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
How's it going?
We're here.
You survived. You survived.
I know. I'm like heinously embarrassed by my wet, crunchy hair right now. No one can see. So it's just Tom and our wonderful guests.
No one can see. I'll show no one. But I was joking with Kix when she logged onto the Zoom because her photo is like a work photo from her old job that she took maybe like week two of living in New York City. And she's
no,
like,
it was like, maybe 6 months.
Okay, but still, you're so eager to take the city by storm, and then like the camera comes on, and you're like in your post shower look in your Oklahoma State shirt.
I know, like, I've been. Hey. It was like literally like 8 years ago, but I look happy. So
well, I look happy. Well, some things that made me happy this week was watching and kind of taking notes and getting excited for this interview today. We are covering Kardashians this week, which is a twist even I didn't see coming, to be honest with you, because I kind of forget that they're reality TV sometimes. Like, they're they're so past that now. But, like, it's worth going back and putting our feet on the ground with, especially, like, e-reality TV. Because that was such a genre that is no longer, essentially. But today we are joined, though, by one third of the Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy, Mariah Smith. She is a writer and pop culture kind of encyclopedia, to be honest. And
her lovely dog.
And her lovely dog.
God, I know, he's crazy.
And we're diving into what you know best, the Kardashians. Mariah, welcome back to the pod.
Thank you for having me. This is such a thrill to be here. I mean, I'm overjoyed.
I'm so
when
excited.
Tom told me you were joining this episode, I was like, Mariah's joining us on Keeping with the Kardashians. She knows her shit with the Kardashians.
Well, she does know her shit, but she also, so we spoke about this last time you were on, but if you don't know, Mariah started Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors back in 2015 feels a long time ago.
Yeah, that
it
I
was
just
certainly
about to say, that's a
8 years
time
ago.
Yeah.
Which 8 happened. Is close to 10.
It's too close to 10. And the fact that I knew how to read and write 8 years ago is what I'm struggling with. Wow.
Yeah, you know, famously 8 is close to 10, Kix, just like in the general rule of life.
It's like you can almost say almost 10 years ago.
Almost 10. And we're also basically almost into 2024, which means it's going to be like technically 9. So it's basically.
Yeah, it's like basically 10.
Yeah. You're right there.
I know. Jesus. I'm scared. Honestly, I'm so scared for 2024, y'all.
I don't even want to think about it.
Why?
It's our last good month.
It is.
I'm just kidding.
No. No.
Yeah.
What's so funny is I see like, well, when we're seeing all these like with the SAG strikes and the WGA and they're like, this movie was pushed to 2026. And I'm like, who's to say if like we're here?
That's so long from now.
No, I know, but or like House of the Dragon will premiere in 2027. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through 2024. So the last thing I need to think
about
is
4, 5, 6.
Right.
We're not going to have new content until best case elections.
I know.
Next year.
I know. And
it's like, it's really much when we were all in COVID and we were like, well, what? God forbid, what do we watch on television? Like, but no, I mean, we saw this, and this is a perfect example and a perfect segue of what we're talking about today, is that like Last Strike, some of the most epic reality television aired, flourish. Filmed, because that was like the way to get around it without being like a, what are they, it's like scab or whatever.
Well, you say that, but then Bethany Frankel came into the picture and is trying to ruin everything for even those of us who love reality.
And I need her to sit down.
She needs to take
a
step back.
And Tom had a good point. Yeah. I don't know if Tom, if you said this on the podcast or not, but she left so positively. Like, no one hated her when she left the show. Like, it wasn't like Ramona where we're like, get this huge asshole off our television shows and I don't want to ever hear from her. It's like, bye, you had a weird feud, we're kind of over you.
Yeah, you can go.
No, but Kixie was also, she also was literally supposed to start filming that season, and she backed out the last second because she was like, I just want more money and I'm kind of over it.
That's the thing. And I'm like, I'm a WGA writer. I'm happy to strike. And I obviously feel that everyone should be supported in mm-hmm. their workplace. But the key of reality stars are it's docu-style. We're following them at their jobs and doing their lives. Like the reality show is not your job or your main source of income. It's something that's, we're just voyeurs to your life. So you technically should be getting all of your benefits from another union, from your job, like all these different things where it just would really poison the well if reality stars were, it was, consciously were like, this is your full-time job.
Well, right. Because the thing is like, once I feel the turn has already begun, but the more aware people, not everyone is meant for prime time in certain facets, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are some people that are like superstars that are like actors and movie stars and television stars that would be so boring on a reality show. Like I would want to just like watch anything else, right? But then there are reality stars like I'm going to take for instance, because to me this is like almost the purest form of reality where they don't do much with their fame, like TLC, like 90 Day People, for instance, they would be awful in a scripted format, right? They're meant to be watched from like a Nest cam to see like how they go about their everyday life.
And sometimes it's literally an iPhone. So yeah.
I mean, it's Sister Wives.
It's all just digital footage. Like we're getting the scraps we can.
No, yeah. Sister Wives, they're fully filming their family on like iPhones set up all around their kitchen.
I mean, in their defense, Lady Gaga filmed Stupid Love on allegedly an iPhone like 13. So
really? Mm-mm. Did we think that?
It's like it's sponsored by
Apple.
Filmed on iPhone 13.
Well, Sister Wives does not look like that music video. I'll let you know.
But the thing is, in their defense, they probably haven't upgraded their iPhone since God knows when.
They're on a 6SC or whatever they're called.
They still have the little chunky red or yellow back.
They have a button.
A button.
Yeah. Oh my God. Of course.
Yeah. Wait, where do you touch down with reality? Because I know you watch so much of it, but I feel like you watch some things that like not everyone dives into. Because you're into some TLC, right? Or
I am. So what's funny is on our radio show, Smith Sisters Live, we were just talking about it this morning. My sister Lauren, we basically say she's our Coyote Pass correspondent.
Yes.
So I get all of what's happening at Sister Wives from her. Mm-hmm. She watches religiously. I dip in and out if I'm like with her or my mom. But I also dip in and out of 90 Day Fiancé. I'm currently watching the UK 90 Day Fiancé on Max, which is amazing. Like, it's wild.
That feels like cheating because they are very close to each other.
You would think that
Kicks, it's different. I've watched the first, like, two or three episodes. Wait, like, what about the chicken?
A flight from the UK to Spain is literally, like, a max three-hour flight.
But there's some twists and turns you wouldn't expect and anticipate, but it also makes me feel better about what we have going on over here because let's say complex personalities that are coming from the UK could really go toe-to-toe with some of the people we have over here.
What's the woman's name who's with the man who sings the I Love You Chicken song? I've watched. Yeah, so there's this woman who's marrying this younger man who is tales all this time on 90 Day Fiancé, wants to have a music career, so find someone who will go on 90 Day Fiancé with them. Well, it's not the first time this has happened.
The one season of 90 Day I watched was this girl and this guy, a couple people I think met from, it may have been TikTok, but it was like when TikTok was like a music stitching
Musical.ly
app.
Yeah,
they met. Yeah, thank you for saying that. They met Musical.ly over the internet, and or was that the name of the app?
It was the name of the app.
No, the name of the app was Musical.ly.
After I said that, I was like, oh shit, wait.
Yeah, but also
they met over the internet scene. Yeah. So you know, love is love.
Oh yes, I forgot they would duet each other's videos. Yeah, that was the US season. Yeah, wait. So because I'm a I know you are too deep with the Bitch Sesh community. Mm. I love them, and I love Casey and Danielle so much. They have on Garbage Sesh have started talking about Welcome to Plathville, which I started because of them, and I am deeply obsessed and traumatized and enthralled by everything that happens.
I need to get into it.
No, you need to.
Yeah, that's on my list. I'm like, I admittedly have been TLC. The thing with TLC is it will suck you in because you're like, I'll just turn this on. I'll, you know, put a little background noise. Nothing about TLC is background noise. So for me, I have to be like mentally and emotionally prepared to let go a fair portion of my life and lifestyle to dedicate to these programs.
Well, yeah. And they all, TLC commitment. Also is like, mm-hmm. you kind of need to like draw the curtains. Like you need to like, because you don't want anyone knowing kind of what you're watching. Cause it isn't like, it's not something I'm so proud of necessarily. Like just what they're showing mm-hmm. on there. And it's, you know, is it exploitative a lot of the time? Yeah, pretty much across the board.
They also, okay. What? In we've talked about this with like Bethany shit. It's like you sign up for people to watch your life, and then mm-hmm. when people comment on it, or you or people are shown what your life really looks like, it's like they're up in arms, and it's like, well, what did you think we were gonna do here? Like,
but I think the majority of people, and this is something that we see constantly on, you know, Housewives and like even Big Brother stuff like that, like. Everyone thinks they're immune to what could come at them. They think they're the one person who mm-hmm. their skeletons won't get revealed. Their
criminal past
won't be seen. Their scandals, their affairs. Like everyone thinks that they're the one person who's impervious to being absolutely found out, torn apart, and ridiculed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gents and everyone else, it's coming for all of us.
It is. Mm-hmm. You cannot hide from the cameras. And no, it never works out that way. And well, so I feel like, honestly, talking about Plathville is a good transition to the Kardashians, though, because, like, it's about a family where just, like, cameras are on, and the way life unfolds around them is so unpredictable. Because I've heard some spoilers for, like, later Plathville, but I just want everyone to go watch it, because it starts out, the premise is these people are just all live in a house, there's 8 kids, and the parents have sheltered them from the world. But, of course, now they're on a TV show, so the world is becoming closer to them. So they are starting to learn more about the world as the episodes go on, and are leaving the family because they've learned about like new opportunities. They can't go to college because they're homeschooled, but aren't their mom is like holding them back from getting a GED. So like they're not actually like graduating. They're like graduating her school, but like, they're not like getting any, they're not, they're like one of the episodes of the first season, this girl's like, what's an SAT?
No.
Yeah. And she's like, well, that's like what you need to do to get into college. We'll have to talk about that if you do want to end up going to college. And it's like, there's a couple other things we'll have to talk about too, like, to get you to a collegiate level. I mean, it is worth a watch.
But my question is, why are they inviting cameras into their home?
That is never.
Who told them this was a good idea?
I don't know. That is the mystery to me. And I just kind of let that mystery be, because like, it doesn't make any sense to me, because like, you won't even let them have like ice cream, yet you'll let like 10 cameras just like park outside of your house and film every waking moment. And you're doing interviews. They're doing one-on-one interviews with like the children as young as 5.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're trying to protect them or shield them, if there's some, you know, ideological reason why they're
right
separated from the
it's
world.
It's religion.
But yeah, it's really, well, yeah.
It is religion.
What are you, like, I don't, that to me is questionable.
Right.
No, but it's absolutely insane. I was, when Tom was telling me about this, I was like, this sounds like CPS should be called. Like, based on these children not being able to do all of these things, missing education opportunities that are free, mm-hmm. public school.
Right.
Like,
I love you said public. In case you haven't heard, there is something called public school. It's free. And you can send
certainly,
your kids
and you can drop your kids off and then have yourself a day if you don't want to work. Yep. So.
Well, the weirder part.
It sounds absolutely crazy. Tom, I think this is a good watch if you're open to rewatching when we're with our parents and our dad doesn't want to do. Watch, it should be you, me, and mom, I think.
Yes, I agree. Dad would not like this show, but mom would. And the other thing, wait, one last thing about it, and then we can move on to the real first family of this country. the religion aspect of it is very different than other religious shows, like the Duggars, for instance, where they came to religion like later. They weren't like raised in the way they weren't raised like closed off from the world. Mom and dad weren't. Like this is something they decided to do once they started having children because they wanted to protect them. It's that aspect of it also makes your mind kind of like do circles. Like they both went to college. The mom talks very openly about how she was like a party girl, like all this stuff. And so it's like, the twist on it to me is like, they're not born into a cult that they don't know how to get out of. They've like created it.
Oh Lord.
So it's a lot. Cool. Watch it. It's trash, but I love it. But we're here to talk about in the theme of families. We are here talking about the Kardashians, season one.
They're probably the polar opposite of this family, just based on like how they talk, like the way they love their lives, like the way that they all just cuss at each other and put stripper poles in their house would turn Platteville upside down.
And Chris is exploiting her children from minute one, scene one of this show, and it's amazing. But
it's amazing, and you forget how level 10 it starts. Like, you're like, surely there's a ramp up, but then it's always like, oh, whoa, oh, okay, this is what we were doing.
No, there was like maybe a 2-minute intro, and then it was like, cameras on, guns blazing, let's hash this like family shit out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She literally says in the first like 5 minutes, like, I was mad as a mom when I saw the sex tape, and now, but as her manager, I had a different like point of view on it or something like that. It's like,
I needed
wow.
to get to work.
Right. Yeah. But before we dive into the episode, I'm going to kind of just go through some history of the show. Kix is going to kind of set the scene about what was happening, you know, in the reality sphere when Kardashians premiered. So, Kardashians premiered on October 14th, 2007. This is right kind of on the heels or after the whole craze or during the craze of the Osbournes on MTV. And Chris approached Ryan Seacrest and was like, hey, I got some crazies in my house. She knows people. I mean, obviously the Rob Kardashian of it all. They have money. I'm married to an Olympian. We've got a show on our hands. And the show premiered once again October 14th, 2007. One of the first things on Wikipedia that it says about the show, it says the show has been critically panned since its premiere.
Yeah, it's like one of the most boring shows in the world, but yet the most fascinating show. Like the early seasons are incredible and captivating, but when they start getting super like filter on like the Vaseline filter on the screen and super like what, like they don't talk about anything, but all of a sudden like it's about everything. It's boring, but I could tell you everything that's ever happened on a television show.
Truly. But it's also fascinating because like even how we were talking before, it's like it started out as 20 minute episodes for real. And it's been over the course of the series and even the Hulu show, The Kardashians, like, four different genres of television, reality TV, docu-style television, whatever, from the kooky family sitcom vibe from the beginning to the tragedy drama hour-long, you know, soap of the end to the basically sketch bit shows at the tail end trying to just make content that didn't have anything to do with their real lives.
No. Yeah, and so the show
Is a sketch show.
It is. It is. The show goes on to obviously have 20 seasons in this iteration of it. And then they ended their final season in 2021 and then swiftly in 2022 premiered the spinoff show just titled The Kardashians. The Kardashians consist of Kim, Kyle, Chris, Courtney, Khloe, Kendall, Caitlyn, and Rob, and then some other ancillary characters. And the show also has so many spinoffs. We have Courtney and Kim Take Miami, the best version.
That was the best, right?
Courtney and Kim Take New York, Khloe and Lamar, Courtney and Khloe Take the Hamptons, Dash Dolls, Rob and China, Life of Kylie, and this is not one I remembered, but Flip It Like Disick.
Yes, that was a very short-lived one. Where he's doing his home renovations.
Yeah. Yeah. Life of Kylie also was pretty short-lived, wasn't it?
It was on Snapchat, wasn't it?
No, that was, she had some on Snapchat, but it was short-lived because she got pregnant during the first season. And then when there would have been a second, she had her baby and was in hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
someone at my office the other day, I don't know why we were talking about this. She was like, sometimes if I need a good cry, I just watch the Kylie Jenner to my daughter video. And I said, excuse me, you want to share that with the public and your coworkers? And she's like, yeah, it's just so sweet. And like, I was like, oh my God, you're crazy.
Wow, that is a little unhinged.
Wait, I haven't seen that since the first time.
I know, she's like, I honestly watch it like a couple times a year. And I was like,
that's really,
I think
dark.
You're probably lying about that. You probably watch it more than that. Sure.
Yeah, sure. One that was on here that was a dark moment for me that didn't make it on this list was also Chloe, Revenge Body. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was dark.
Not competition show, but
no, it was like a
weight swan. Yeah, it was like the closest they could get to the swan in 2016, basically.
Right. And then I also have just like a delightful list of net worths, which I find are always fun.
Oh yeah.
Starting from the bottom. We have now, this is 2023 net worth. Okay. So starting the bottom, we have Rob. Love and light to Rob. I hope he's well, but he's at 10 million, which he's living life. Honestly,
that's remarkably high for someone.
Yeah, that's higher than I thought.
With nothing but a sock brand.
He's got that sock. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't think that even still is active.
Yeah, probably not. No. Yeah. I mean, I think the money probably just comes from residuals.
He does live in Chris's old house, so he's not paying rent or mortgage. So he's
slay.
Living for free.
Big slay. Caitlyn Jenner with 25 million. Kendall Jenner at 60 million. Jeez. Also, Khloe Kardashian at 60 million. Kourtney at 65 million. I don't know what pushed her over just a little bit. Now, granted, this is coming from also like some sort of website that probably gave me like a life-altering virus on my computer. So, and then after that, we have Chris with 170 million, Kylie at 750 million, and Kim at $1.4 billion.
Yeah, Kylie dropped off the billions like last year. It was,
man.
And then Kim jumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have to scale back working after your second kid, that can happen. So.
What will she do? She's no longer a billionaire.
She's no longer a billionaire. How will she make up? How will she fill the gap in her household?
Yeah. God.
No clue. And do you think that, and also just the origin of Kim going from closet organizer to Paris Hilton to like Paris invited her to a club once and then she got photographed and then she met Ray J and now she's worth, do you think, like, I wonder, like, I know that they recently have like been friends again, but do you ever think that Paris has any sort of like, I made you who you are, like energy towards her? Or do you think she thinks about her like that?
Absolutely. And I think that she will never, at least within the next 10 years, will never say that specifically because now they're fine. But I mean, that they're falling out that happened for basically two decades, it feels like, would not have happened otherwise. Like it would have, they would have maybe grown apart because of different lifestyles, different journeys. But the way Kim surpassed Paris for a good 8 to 10 years is, that's got to piss her off.
Yeah. I mean, Paris was the it girl and Kim like literally swiftly took the crown. I agree. Well, Kix, tell us what was happening in October of 2007.
Well, the big one, which I found kind of like ironic, is that Hulu streaming service launched in October 2007, and now they're on Hulu, like a 10 years later. Poetic. No, more than that. Oof. Anyways.
Yeah. I was like, 16 years later.
Thank you. All right. So on in the box office, there was a lot of movies that never heard of.
Okay, great. Give it to us.
The Game Plan was number one.
The Game Plan. What was that?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
And did I just look at this and then didn't look at what they are? Absolutely. So
thanks for your research.
Why Did I Get Married was number two. Saw four was, Roman numerals. Four was number three. The Heartbreak Kid, number four. And then down the row was Across the Universe, which is one of my like.
Oh, love that! What a moment in time, Across the Universe, truly, the Beatles musical. I mean,
oh, that was forever ago. That
was so good.
I know, but it was. It's so cheesy and weird. Never would be made now. But then it was like so cool. Even though it was,
every like try hard Urban Outfitters cool girl pointing at me made that movie her whole personality.
Yeah,
pointing at me. So.
In her dealings.
Exactly. So Soldier Boys, Crank That.
Oh God, yes.
Was that number one? Was
number one. And not, I did learn that it is Crank That, not Crank That. Okay. So that's number one. Stronger by Kanye West was number two. Okay. The Way I Are, Timberland, featuring Carrie Hilson. Big Girls Don't Cry.
Oh, what a good one.
Yeah. Bottom of this list for the week was, I just wanted to mention this, is Rockstar by Nickelback, which is a moment in time. Talk about a true moment in time.
Wow. To know that Nickelback was on the radio when Kim was on gracing her screens. There's a lot there.
Living two separate lives. Them too.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned, Hulu streaming service launches. Roni was in its first season. Survivor China had just aired with Todd Heron Zong.
He's the iconic gay winner.
Indeed.
Well, there's a couple. But.
Jordan Sparks wins American Idol.
Of course.
ANTM, wow. Yes. Wow. ANTM Cycle 9 with Salisha is the winner.
Oh yeah, so she had the bowl cut. She had the
yes,
weird.
Yes, she did.
Yes, yeah. I remember. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really. Weird,
that's a good. That's a good reality TV year.
It really is. Not so good on the movies, but that's just my personal take.
So we're gonna get into the episode. So once again, we're watching season one, episode one. You can find this on Hulu, and then also it is streaming. You can buy it on Prime, find it somewhere. I'm sure you can watch the first 10 minutes, which is literally half the episode on YouTube.
Yeah, like, Peacock.
Yeah,
Peacock. Oh, sorry, it's on Peacock. Peacock, yeah.
Yeah.
So the episode starts with a bang. It's just Kim saying, I'm starving.
The way
that you're starving.
I know, right?
The rancid fat phobia in 2007 was really prominent, and they mention it a lot in this episode. They make comments on everybody's weight.
Yeah.
It's also in the premiere or the promo for the season, talking about everybody's weight.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris literally, like, her first sentence is like, Kim really has a little junk in the trunk. She's got the jiggles, she says.
And tells her she, you know, a little thing called cardio. And what's funny is this is probably one of the first frame of the show is probably one of the smallest we've ever seen Kim, but also so indicative of the times of when we thought J-Lo's behind was the biggest butt we had ever seen. When we thought, when the blogs told us that Jessica Simpson in that chunky belt made her look like, you know, a beached whale when she truly was, actual rail. Like, it's just, we were so obsessed and thought any type of curvature on someone, I'm shocked people having elbows didn't mean they were curvy. Yeah. Like, right. Everything was blown out of proportion.
Completely. And also, just across, I mean, you know, I don't love to come for people's plastic surgery, but we have to talk about it. The faces are different.
They're different.
It's a different group of girls.
If they are anything, they are different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's faces have, let's just say, aged, because Kylie and Kendall are much younger. Their faces are different for different reasons as well.
Of course.
The older group, everyone's different. It's just they've aged in the ways they've chosen to age, with the help and tools of others and just the help and tools of nature.
Of course.
And money.
And I did find, I don't know about y'all, but I found everyone's voices to be a little bit different, except for one person whose voice is almost worse than it is today, and that is Courtney. Like, her voice penetrated, like, my ears. She's like,
it's the Paris Hilton effect. Speaking of Paris Hilton, it's like Paris Hilton put on this voice to be the brand of Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm. They are actual Valley girls, though. So Paris was trying to sound like a Valley girl, even though she grew up in the Beverly Hills.
Right.
And these girls are true down-home Sweet Valley High.
Whoa, whoa.
Don't say what you're... I know exactly what you're about to say. You didn't know that that's where the term Valley Girl came from?
Had no idea. You said that in my head.
I saw it happen whoa. In front of you. I saw the math problems like up here behind your head. And you were like, wait.
Well, I had no idea where it was from, but that makes tons of sense. So great. Please continue.
For those who don't know, we grew up in Dallas. There's no valleys in Dallas. So,
well, what's funny is I grew up in St. Louis. And since I was a kid, everyone had said, or since I was a teen, they're like, you sound like a Valley girl. And I was always like, I don't. And it's just how I was raised. Mm-hmm. So I had to do my research on the, you know, origins of geographically where it came from long ago. So some people might not be thinking
about it. We're living, we're learning, we're talking mm-hmm. Kardashians, we're talking the strike.
Yeah.
We're talking about Valley girls. So,
we are. Wow. Also, I don't know about y'all, but I find this home to be so comforting to me. Like the old Kardashian home. I want to rent
it. Like I want to Airbnb it and like spend the Christmas.
Yeah, does it exist still? Do you know, Moran?
I think it must. And you know what? I might have to take a journey out there because I think this is the home. Is this home still? I think that one was still in Calabasas. Yeah, it's still in Calabasas. Or it's probably in Thousand Oaks or something, but I'm sure it's available at the very least for Swimply. Like it's got to have something.
Well, I just looked. Wait, is this the house? I just looked up. I just Googled it, and it says Chris is still the proud owner of the most famous mm-hmm. TV homes in America, the original Kardashian family home in the Hidden Hills in Hidden Hills, California. But I think she still owns it.
Yeah.
Wait, but this is she purchased the mansion back in 2010 for $4 million.
Oh yeah, so that's the
other one.
The other one. The one that they film in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know. I'll have to do some deep diving on it. But there's something about it's just like
the pillows and the texture, the colors and the weird. It's like what all that's missing is like a weird collection of chickens and hens.
Sure.
And yeah. I think they even had. They probably, you know what? They probably had it and just had to clear it out for production.
You're probably it's right.
Like every mom who has this vibe has like one like niche collection of an animal.
And I'm sure there's pig. One gather sign somewhere. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
oh, for
and
sure.
I want to like curl up on the couch with like a stack of Blockbuster like DVDs.
Yeah.
Like the old school Domino's boxes. Remember what they used to look like with the mm-hmm. big domino on it? Like some Reese's pieces and just like live it up with like the girls for a sleepover. It just brings me to
God.
It just like brings me to that space.
I can feel it.
No, I know, same.
I love that.
I was like, this house is so comfortable to me because I remember when they made the move to like the bigger mm-hmm. house, mm-hmm. I remember feeling so disconnected from that because I was like, it like the black and white tile, remember that? And like, it was just like, this doesn't feel, it felt like almost like new money to me. It just, this feels so like lived in, like suburban.
It's
fantasy.
Homier. It's like a home. And the other places are now are houses.
They're
or
sets.
Architectural digest, you know, crumbs.
Right.
It's
just not the same.
And also Do y'all, I feel like they should have at some point brought back this theme song in a new revamped way, because this theme song also, I have not heard that in so long. And when it came to my ears, I was like, oh my God, like I forgot about all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree, but I think they would rather expose all of their secrets than have that be attached to their brand again, because it's too fun, it's too quirky, it's too silly, it's not sexy or serious or like, you don't think of that and then think of a billionaire, you don't think of that and think I need to get some Skims, like that, it's just not,
it's
sexy.
Not on brand for no, but then part of me is like, could we like do like a la Crazy in Love 50 Shades of Grey version of it, you know?
I mean there's hope.
If there's one thing AI can do, it's that. Like, please, I would let them do that. Like, create a sexy version
of that.
I would
take anything over the Cuff It music that now that them skating to Cuff It in the newest season. That was just like, that's a bridge too far. We've got to draw
like
a line.
The Beyonce song?
Yes.
Kicks, and it's the
censored version. They do a full, it feels like 4 minutes.
No, Kicks. Well, Kicks is... Kix is a blow. Kix. Kix is a blow super fan. Like that's her favorite Beyonce song of all time.
Of all time.
And they essentially replicate the video.
The video.
And it's upsetting.
It is. And I think I realized, and
my stomach just turned.
What I think the people really need to know is I did wonder, I was like, why did Beyonce let them do this? But one thing that the Carters love yeah. is they love them some Corey Gamble. Corey is one of Jay-Z's ride or dies. So no matter what happens with history they have with Kanye, Kim, whatever, Corey is their dude. And if Corey is attached to Chris is attached to them. And they probably call in that favor. Because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to afford it. Yeah, they like money.
It was crazy to me to see them all at Renaissance. Like, I mean, not in person. Just seeing them.
Timothy Chalamet.
Those worlds in my mind. I'm like, part of me just wants to be like, stay away from her, from Beyonce. Like, and you know that Beyonce she's just like, I honestly don't care about them, but like they care about me, so they can be over there in the corner if they want.
It's more trouble to her to
make the scene.
Say, don't bring them around. She's just like, they won't bother me none. I won't bother them. Let's just keep it going.
Because who is in her circle, Beyonce's circle, these days? One. Is Kelly. There anyone?
Yeah, Kelly,
her cousin, Angie Beyonce, Solange, and her mom.
Yeah. It's small.
And her children. Yeah, I don't even know if Jay-Z counts.
I don't think he also say Jay-Z. Jay-Z is an acquaintance.
Yes, you're absolutely right. No, so back to the episode. So another thing about the episode, I don't know about y'all, but so the episode is only 22 minutes long, and it moves so fast. Like, I was taking notes, and I was like, we're in a new location approximately every 20 seconds. We go to New York. We come back from New York. We go. We have an engagement party. We do so much in one.
We see Dash, which is the ugliest story I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
See, quote Chloe, she goes, this is Dash. We just like to come here and catch up and have a good time and kind of just gossip. And it's like, that's supposed to be a business.
Yeah, you mean work?
yeah, you're right. It didn't faze me when they said it, but now that you say it back, I'm like, you're right. Like, they should just be working. I didn't realize Dash had been around. I thought Dash was created because of the show. I didn't realize Dash was pre-show.
No, they had Dash and Smooch, which I think was open during the premiere, but that was their kids' store right next door. So those were two of the selling points.
Dash it was so for being a quote unquote high fashion boutique store. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
So budget. So budget.
It could have been in
Stillwater,
Oklahoma, like where I went to college. Like it could have, like if you told me that was in Hidden Hills, I would not believe you.
Well, and then another moment that jumped out to me that I'd forgotten about. I didn't realize when the show had begun, Caitlin and Chris had been married for 16 years already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were together forever.
Yeah.
And their divorce then, because I think they had divorced at 23 years, it wasn't that far into the show. Because like Chris and Corey have even been together, I think now for almost 10 years, which is wild.
That's insane.
Oh, because they divorce like way before transition begins.
Yeah.
Caitlin comes out.
And yeah.
Yes.
Caitlin was still on the show when they like post-divorce.
Now, for me, there was another jump scare. I don't know about y'all. Tyra Banks is a heavily featured presence in this first episode. I was like, this is such a time capsule of everything that was 2007. Like,
it's like, look at the fabric on the chairs, from the hair, from the style, from Tyra Banks being her talk show being a big deal. It's like,
Mariah, were you a Tyra show viewer?
I was, and I think looking back, I was a more red viewer than I would have told you now, but I'm like, there are so many episodes I can recall, all these things, and she was on for so long. And I love Top Model. It was like fascinating to see that, like, oh, a supermodel is a television host. Like, she was the first type of celebrity we knew from another format or another, you know, vertical going into the talk show space. So it was fascinating.
How long was it on?
It probably was only on for like 9 months also, and it felt like 10 years.
Go ahead, Kix.
No, I was gonna say, I didn't even think about it like that though. Of like, she was really, nobody had done it like that. Like, Kelly Clarkson now has a very successful
Jennifer
show.
Jennifer Hudson, Drew Barrymore, even, I mean, Ellen, I think, might have had already
Chris
started.
Jenner.
Like Chris Jenner, Bethany Frankel. It was one of the early.
My God.
And successful ones. So
I forgot about Bethany's show.
So the show only had 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. Which that's a lot, but it kind of not like, and by, I, it could have been 10 years to me, but
yeah, it's
only
when you
5
think
years.
Of a Disney Channel show and you're like, oh yeah, Lizzie McGuire was on for 7 years, and I think that only had like 3 seasons.
Exactly.
Like, what?
But the twist, the twist on this though is they had 810 episodes.
Holy crap!
You know what so. I have to do more research on that. That kind of makes sense. Because like most TV shows will celebrate their like 100th episode in year 5. So they're probably, wow, she really did that.
Yeah, she was working. And she was filming Top Model.
That's
around
160 episodes a season.
Yeah, and I bet you she filmed those 160 episodes in the span of like 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah.
And did like 3 a days sometimes. I mean, that woman works. Like, even on Top Model, I remember there was a season of Top Model where, like, they had to fly to New York for, like, a quote-unquote challenge only because, and they went to go to the Tyra show, but I think it was because Tyra also just had to film the show that day. Like,
she had to fulfill a contractual obligation.
Yeah. But I think she was filming, like, the Tyra show and ANTM at the same time. She would, like, fly to wherever they were or, I mean, that woman works and hustles.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And you know, so in this episode, Chris says, like, so she says, when I heard about the sex tape as her mother, I wanted to kill her. But as her manager, I knew I had a job to do. And the first thing that just happens to come about, right, is that Tyra Banks happens to call and wants Kim to come on for her first interview post-sex tape. And she's like, Tyra is probably going to ask you the question about, like, the sex tape. And it's like, I know I would have fallen for all this being organic then, but looking back, I'm like, you know, Chris called Ryan Seacrest. She had a three-way with Ryan Seacrest, Tyra Banks, company, and her, and be like, okay, episode one, we would like for Kim to go on to the Tyra Banks show and reveal, kind of like talk candidly about the sex tape for the first time, and it'll also give you promotion for the Tyra Banks show. And like, don't you feel like that was all just kind of like planned out for in Momager's mind?
100%. I think that she probably was like, I want to get her on any show that will take her for this. Like, who will put, who has a free slot for, you know, these production dates, essentially. And how can we make this work? Because she was like, she probably wanted Oprah first and foremost. And wanted maybe a Larry King or someone. And she got Tyra.
The View.
Yeah, The View. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh my God. Those years of The View weren't that salacious, but I can't not that. I guess who was on The View then? That wasn't Rose. That was pre Rosie.
Was that like Elizabeth Hasselbeck? So it wasn't Elizabeth Hasselbeck era then.
Well, I think it had to have been Elizabeth. Was Elizabeth on pre Rosie and then Rosie came on and then they found, I can't remember the time.
Yeah, I think I think Elizabeth was there a little longer than Rosie on the front end, which sort of makes sense. And she would never want Kim on that show.
Never.
Like, that would, I mean, even today she wouldn't have a sit down with a woman, I'm sure.
Oh no, absolutely not. Like,
so Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on the show from 2003 to 2013.
Oh, so that was that era.
Then Rosie joined in 2006.
Wow. Whoa. So it was probably around this time, because Rosie left in 2007, I'm seeing. So it probably was right around this time when the fight went down. Damn.
Man, so they had a lot on their plate.
They did. They couldn't take on Kim.
Couldn't take it on.
So that's kind of like Kim's like big storyline for this episode. And then the big storyline for our girl Courtney is that we get to meet Scott, episode one, which I love.
What a joy.
Scott's
24 years old.
That's crazy. What a little baby.
A true baby. Like, I know. I had to look up everybody's ages because I was like, they all look so young. Also, I feel like the Kardashian girls could either be late mid-20s or they could be 45. Like that was like the age of fashion where everybody was on the same level of age. Like
I was wearing twin set sweater vest tank top things to high school in 2007 exactly. with a woman's purse as my book bag.
Yes, it was the purses.
The Wild West.
It really was. We all wanted to like dress like we were 45.
Yeah, like we were going to work a full day's job in a cubicle. It's like, so, sweetie, put on a t-shirt and get call it a day.
Right.
So Chloe is 23, Kim is 27, Courtney is 28, Rob is 20.
Man.
Which is
cool in college, yeah.
And then Kendall, 12, Kylie, 10.
Oof. I didn't realize Kim was that old when this started. That's not old, but in my mind, she was like much younger than that. 27? You said Kim was 27? Wait, how old was Courtney?
Kim was 27. Courtney, 28.
Oh, God. She's only a year older. Yeah. So the Courtney and Scott storyline for this episode is that Chris has found out that Scott's been cheating on Courtney, supposedly.
Yeah.
And Chris can't quite figure out how to reveal to Courtney that Scott, like, isn't the one. And I'm like, Chris, once again, is working. Like, she's like,
she's busy.
Episode one, we have to get storylines. Like, every scene we have a storyline. She's like, I have Kim over here in New York with Tyra talking about her sex tape. I have to reveal to Courtney about Scott's cheating.
At my anniversary party.
Yeah, I will throw my daughter's relationship under the bus.
National television.
Oh, my God.
And then we have Caitlin at a hair salon.
And the Jenner girls are making cocktails. It's like
swinging on the stripper pole. It's like it's everything.
Yeah, everything.
And Rob is quiet. It's all. Yeah. It's they still all do this.
What was funny in the very beginning of the episode, they had like they were like this is Chris, this is Kim. They were like introducing you to everyone, but they didn't introduce Rob.
Because he wasn't, I don't think he was supposed to be a part of the narrative. And I also think that's something he still hangs his hat on, being like, I wasn't part of the main crew. Scott was more a part of the cast than me.
Yeah. You're, I mean, and I get that. Rob is troublesome to me. It makes me sad. And I feel like what makes me sad about Rob is I wish he understood that everyone's always been rooting for him. And even, well, everyone besides his family,
Mariah.
I would say, maybe.
And
yeah, well, I was going to say, everyone besides Rob, even. He's just.
No, I know. Rob doesn't root for him. But I'm like, everyone wants him to be, like, okay and successful. But the family, he should never. They should have just kept him off the show much further before they did. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I feel like his involvement on this episode is like a perfect way to he's in the family, he lives there, he's at college, blah blah blah. But like Scott now, like in Hulu Kardashian world, is, I mean, they talk about how he is their family as well. So I mean, and he's bigger part of this episode than Scott is, but
than Rob is. So another thing I found so interesting was that Chris is like, okay, Courtney, we're going to go to this wine bar to try some wines to bring to the anniversary party. They don't buy anything.
Yeah, which
didn't make sense. I didn't understand why they left while everyone got the house ready for the party. So they go to this wine tasting and get like belligerent and come back and they're like, people are here already?
They also don't taste wine. They're mostly drinking tequila.
Yeah, so they end up doing shots.
Yeah, so it is a completely different excursion.
Completely different excursion. Come home with nothing. And yet, also Chris, like Chris just spent like 2 hours getting blackout with her daughter. She could have talked about the Scott issue there, but instead she decided to address it back at her anniversary party. It's all just a lot of Chris kind of like writing storylines.
Antics. So yeah, the timeline doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it also like party planning wise, if I'm hosting at my home, I will do nothing but think about how I need to be here planning, setting up, make sure the liquor is there the night before, the blah, blah, blah.
that I'm there even on time.
Right, right. That I'm like, look presentable, that my outfit's together, that I'm have everything right. Like, I'm
I also kind of love the fact that like now I'm realizing Chris has made it so that she's a big player in the three main storylines of the show. It's her anniversary, it's Kim's, it's her orchestrating the Tyra show, and it's her trying to figure out how to tell Courtney about her boyfriend.
Oh my God, you're
It's, that's genius.
It is, because I feel like the initial show was about the girls, mainly the girl, Kim
and her sisters, and then Chris would be floating around somewhere, but Chris is the anchor if you look at episode one.
Truly. So at this party we have two shocking jump scares again for me. First of which, Heather McDonald, is there. I thank God you caught that, Mariah. I literally was like, I was looking at it, I was like, that can't be. Like, I feel that she is just the Grim Reaper of the reality world. She's just in the corner of every room.
I don't understand, like, her involvement.
She and Chris go way back. They're, like, long time friends. And Heather does make, you know, sort of sparse appearances throughout the series. But I, and every single time, it's a jump scare. Because she, like, is one of Chris's closest confidants, which is, a if ever there's a red flag, there, that's like, any, you know, there are just so many things, but I still, I totally forgot she was there from day dot episode one.
I honestly think if you would told me Heather McDonald was a housewife, like, I would have believed you. She just always seems like around.
She wants to be one, I'm sure.
I'd say I'm positive she would be begging for someone to make her a housewife.
Yeah. She just is always like, oh, were you on a Bravo show? Were you on XYZ? Like, why are you always here? And then she pops up on the screen.
And she has a lot of time. She goes from Orange County to Calabasas to Los Angeles. She's all over Southern California.
And she's got a lot to say about a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, Heather. She's, you know, she's in the press these days for some other antics. We won't get into that. One other jump scare, though, that I was fangirling over was Robin Anton.
Yes.
Now, Robin Anton also makes a very amazing cameo on Real Housewives of Orange County when she has Gretchen perform at her Pussycat Dolls Cabaret.
Oh my God. And I forgot. Oh my God. Yes,
she like hired her to be a part of that. Yeah, it's great. This, she is a character I also would be down to have. She is someone I think would make a good reality star in some sort of facet.
For sure. I mean, it seems like she's asking for it.
I mean, she's done the Kardashians a few times too. There's the time she had Kim do the Pussycat Doll Cabaret too, when Kim was like, I can't dance. And she did all the, it's like, it's remarkable. And I think, there had to have been a point where they were shopping around a competition show with Robin, because I'm like, she showed up on so many shows teaching one of the stars of this reality show how to be in the Pussycat Dolls Cabaret.
Right. There's a show. Right. Yeah. And then Chris does end up at the party dropping the news to court about, also, did y'all lol at the girl's name? They were like, I saw CeCe. And Scott. I'm like, CeCe and Scott? Like, what world are we living in?
Well, here, CeCe is the person who they, who's it's, the girl's friend.
Yeah.
It's CeCe is their cousin. It's Chris.
Oh,
Rob Kardashian.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
His cousin. But my favorite part of that scene is when Chris was sort of talking around it and Courtney just goes, spit it out.
Spit it out.
And it's just so filled with contempt. She hates her.
Like, she hates her so much. And she also probably knows what she's about to say.
Yeah, for sure.
Immediately after, she's like, that's it. I've known about that, Mom. And also, that is a tale as old as time. We've seen this on Housewives so many times. We were on a break.
We weren't exclusive. Or we weren't
Like, Scott is a cheater, though.
Oh, God. So, Sure.
And then the episode ends on this like fantastic interview that Tyra does with Kim. And Tyra is relentless. She in interview settings, she is relentless. Kim says on the Tyra show, she says, I want to teach my sisters what not to do. And Tyra says, why do you want this to come out? And Kim says, like, how are you, what's your spin on this? And she's like, I want to teach my sisters what not to do. And Tyra immediately replies and goes, not to have a sex tape.
So funny.
Oh no, sorry. Not to have sex and tape it.
Yes, it's such a drag. I'm like
you are dragging this girl.
Amazing.
Not to have sex and tape it.
And tape it.
Oh boy. God love her.
God love her.
And God love these women. I love Kardashians from a distance. I've been I was a Kylie ride or die, like Kylie lip kit era.
Wow.
Loved her.
You were a lip kit girl for a bit.
Yeah, I was a lip kit girl. Also, those still hit. I don't have them anymore, but they did still hit.
I did. I will say I saw that she had, I guess, like a Labor Day sale on lip kits. Because I forgot lip kits were still a big portion of the Kylie Cosmetics empire. Oh, yeah. And she was doing like a 2-for-1 or something. And I was like, do I have the lip kit? Like, what am I? I stood in line when she did one of her first pop-ups in New York long ago, and I bought my first lip kit then. And I was like, oh, I'm not mad at it. And then I don't own any Kylie cosmetics.
The Khloe Kardashian like collab they did is the best one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, her sister?
Yes.
So her sister has a kit. No, I'm just-
They all have kits. I think-
Oh, yeah, she has collabs with-
I think Courtney now doesn't.
All of them. I think Kim doesn't.
Kim, because Kim weirdly had her own makeup company for like 5 years. And it was like really odd.
But now
bizarre.
She's bringing it back. She's recently said she's working on samples, and they're relaunching under, I think, the Skin brand.
The Skin brand.
Well,
here's the thing. It's all the same manufacturer. Like her and Rode Beauty, also same all manufacturer. Same. Like it's all there. So whatever, but I was like obsessed with like King Kylie era. I just loved watching it. Like I was like, this girl is nuts.
And like when she started dyeing her hair, she was just like, you know, it her sort of like punk Vine era. Like that was fun, and that was like cool to see this kid grow up.
Yeah,
and
she was like
figure herself
the
out.
Quote unquote rebel when she just literally cut her hair, but
and wore rings.
And yeah, exactly. Right. And I've never been like a Kendall girl. I know that she was like kind of a sleeper fave of some people, but I don't know.
I have never been able to get down with that.
What I find just so classic Kardashian is that they. Like, once again, Kris Jenner being this, like, ultimate producer. It's like, somehow, 29 years ago, her and Caitlyn birthed a perfect supermodel with a body like no one else in that family. It's like, how does Kendall Jenner come out of, like, all of these women have the same body. They're very curvy. They're kind of short. Some of them are taller. But, and then comes along Kendall Jenner, this, like, literally perfect model. It's crazy. And it's just like, obviously her giving birth to her, that was not the intention, but it's just so like classic Kardashian of like, of course this is perfect.
Oh, I would say some say, how did Khloe get birthed? But you know, that's a question for another day. wait, before we go though, because I don't really know where y'all stand on it. I want to do like a quick little power ranking, like from your least to most favorite of the girls. And I think we can all remove Caitlyn and Rob from this conversation.
I wasn't even thinking about them.
I wasn't either.
I agree. I just wanted to clear. They're at the bottom. So I think mine would probably be Kendall at the bottom.
Yes.
And you know, is it Kylie? I'll probably say Courtney then. And then I'm going to say Kylie. And then I'm going to say Khloe. Then Kris. Then Kim. I am an unapologetic Kim kind of lover. Not for like, I just think she's just kind of it. She gets
it. She's a star.
She truly is. And I really... I really agree with your list. I think that we have the same bottom three. So it'll be Kendall, Courtney, Kylie.
Yeah.
Where I struggle is I'm going to jump ahead. Chris is my number one. I think that she just, to me, sets the pace, and we would be nothing without her.
Absolutely.
But Chloe is my, like, the one I have more of an affinity towards. But Kim, like what you're saying, she's Kim. So, but they're sort of tied for two, and there's no number three. I think that's what it has.
Think that's a smart list.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I, at one point, I feel like Chloe was like everybody's Kardashian. But in like recent years with all of
she's
this
exhausting.
She's exhausting. She's
like, girl, the Tristan we rode hard for you.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we get in return.
And this is what we get? Your witch hands with this horrible man? Like,
not our witch hands.
Yeah. It truly is like that one friend you just want to shake.
Yeah.
And you need to take a little break from
I feel like that. I feel like that's right. Yeah. I think Kim and Chris are number one and two for me as well. I think I would bring Kylie up higher. I just think she's out of her mind, and I find it so fascinating to be on this planet with.
I mean, it's a case study. We're in a real time case study of the human psyche.
Just crazy to think about too. Like, Kendall and Kylie were children,
babies,
and now we're like babies and businesses and billions of dollars
pushing up on 30. Like, it's we're old. That's simply it.
And all it was so sweet though, because it's like, I feel like the 10 and 12, like that was like, they were normal 10 and 12 year olds. But now a 10 and 12 year old looks like they're like 35. Like, so
10 and 12 year olds now are trying to look like Kylie today.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Well, Rory, thanks for being here. This is so fun.
Of course. Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Let everyone know where they can follow you, listen to you, all the good stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and Threads at Mariah Mariah Mariah.
Are you threading?
I thread every now and again.
Okay.
I'm trying to get off of Twitter, so I won't even tell you what my Twitter is. And then you can listen to Smith Sisters Live Monday through Friday on Sirius Channel 102 Radio Andy at 9 a.m. Eastern.
And y'all are the best. And for those who know, Smith Sisters Live, I mean, y'all were just on Today Show with
with
Queen Hoda and Jenna. Queen Hoda and Jenna. How was that?
Yeah. Oh my God, amazing. They're the best.
And y'all looked gorge.
Oh, thank you. No, seriously.
Are the best, and you're a little sibling inspo for Kix and I. So
guys are sibling inspo. We love a good sibling moment when you can work with them, get along with them, you have the same interests. Nothing better.
It's the best. So yeah, check all that stuff out of Mariah's. And Mariah, say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.